Proverbs, if you will, chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. And as you're turning there, we're looking at verses 1 through 13 from this passage of Scripture. Many countries around the world observe Father's Day. The specific date varies. In fact, a lot of countries will celebrate Father's Day today, the third Sunday in June. Of course, that's when we, as the United States of America, that's when we observe Father's Day. But we find that in many regions of the world, there are many countries that observe a day on their calendar each and every year to recognize Father's Day. And that date may vary, but here, of course, as I mentioned a moment ago, today is Father's Day. In the United States, the first observance that we can tell from what we look at in history was in June of 1910, out in Washington State, in fact. And it kind of went on for a little while, and some of the clergy members, to use that term, as it was used in the particular article, they made decisions that they would preach a message on fathers, and they would address it in like fashion as what they had done with Mother's Day and what have you. But it did not become a permanent national holiday until 1972. And that really isn't that long ago. Of course, for a number of years, it was observed before, you know, from 1910 until 1972, but it was not an official holiday in the United States of America until made a permanent national holiday until 1972. The purpose, as it's stated, is this: to honor fatherhood and paternal bonds, as well as the influence of fathers in society. The reality is that as we go to the Word of God, we find that back in the book of Deuteronomy in the 6th chapter that Moses gave very specific instruction to the role of fathers on influencing their families for the Lord. And that responsibility was given, of course, the children of Israel. If you think about the book of Deuteronomy, and obviously if you've been with us through the study of the book of Joshua, you understand that Moses is preparing that generation for entrance into the land and all of the things that they would become, you know, be able to see and all that they would conquer and the things that they would now be exposed to, and so on and so forth. And we find that God used Moses to give some very important instruction to that generation. And as you read the 6th chapter in particular, there is very direct instruction that is given to fathers. It is interesting, if you were to study that passage of Scripture, that there is an emphasis placed upon the fathers knowing the truth and living the truth and then teaching the truth. And by the way, when we go in that order, we're much more effective when our message of our life matches the message of our lips. And that's why I think there's such an important emphasis that is placed in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 of those fathers knowing the truth, living the truth, and then teaching the truth. As we look at the book of Proverbs, we have the opportunity from a human perspective. Obviously, it's the Word of God. It's divinely inspired. But humanly speaking, we have the opportunity, the privilege, if you will, to read of the instruction of a father. In fact, that's the title for the message this morning, The Instruction of a Father. You'll see that in verse number 1 of chapter number 4. And it's interesting, if we look at the specifics as to what's taking place in the book of Proverbs, you see that Solomon is speaking to his children, in particular, Rehoboam. And we find that instruction is being given. It's being passed on. In fact, in our text of Scripture this morning in chapter number 4, you'll find that Solomon references how that his father, David, taught him. You can look at the passages of Scripture at the end of the life of King David, and you can see 1 Kings chapter number 2 in particular. You can see where he calls for Solomon, and he gives him instruction. And we find that Solomon here in the book of Proverbs is providing this instruction for his children, in particular for Rehoboam. But really, there's a much greater truth that is found within the book of Proverbs, more than Solomon sitting down and speaking to his children or to his child. We find that God, our Father, is speaking truth to us as His children. You know, it's an absolute blessing to say, I'm a child of God. And by the way, there are many people that make the claim that they're a child of God, and so let me help you understand that you can only be a child of God if you've been saved by the blood of the crucified one. There's some people that would like to purport this idea that we're all the children of God. We understand that God is the Creator, but you understand that you enter into that relationship of Him being our Father and we being His children only through redemption, through the blood of Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen? And what a blessing. I'm so thankful for the truth of God's word with regard to that. And so this morning, as we study this passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter number 4, and we note the instruction of a father, we'll deal specifically with how Solomon is seeking to influence his children. But more broadly speaking, we must not miss the truth of the application that God our Father has given us instruction, and we must take heed to it. Our lives should be characterized by obedience to the instruction of our Father. Amen? Our life should be characterized by obedience to the instruction of our Heavenly Father. We see that truth that is revealed to us in the book of Proverbs with regard to the human relationship between Solomon and his son, and about the importance of taking heed and obeying and following and keeping and so on and so forth. But on a much higher plane, a much more important perspective is that we would understand that our Heavenly Father has given us instruction in this book that we call the Bible, and oh, that our lives would be characterized by obeying the Word. Therefore, this morning as we look at the passage of Scripture, yes, there is a charge to the fathers, humanly speaking, our responsibility. There's a charge to the children, their responsibility to receive the instruction that's been given to them. But really, as we look at the application for each and every one of us, say, I'm not a father, I'm not a child living at home anymore. That's okay, because if you're a child of God, there is rich truth in this passage of Scripture for each and every one of us. And I hope that we would make the decision to say, yes, Lord, yes. We just want to obey. I mentioned a passage of Scripture not long ago. I don't remember exactly which message it was that I was preaching. It may have been a Joshua lesson for all I know. I'm not sure exactly. I didn't go back and look it up as to when I made the statement, but it was in John chapter number 2 at the miracle there at Cana. And Mary comes to those servants and they say, she says to them, speaking of Jesus, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I love the simplicity of that statement. Isn't it? It's simple, right? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And oh, that we would have that perspective. Notice in our passage of Scripture, the Bible says this. I'll read the entirety and then we'll break it down this morning. Verse number 1, hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved of the in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Now, when we read this passage of Scripture strictly from the perspective of Solomon speaking to Rehoboam, we say, well, this is good instruction. Solomon didn't always follow the instruction he gave. Amen? In fact, in my own personal Bible reading this morning, the place in which I started this morning, just where I was in 1 Kings, dealing with how he, Solomon, loved many strange women and all that situation with the idolatry and what have you. And so we find that if we read the passage of Scripture strictly from that perspective, we'll glean some things, but we won't glean the fullness of what we're looking at. If we take that perspective, that God, our Heavenly Father, is giving us instruction and we understand, we break down the passage of Scripture, oh, how rich it becomes. As we look at the passage, we see, first of all, the responsibility of the Father. We understand that, as I mentioned back in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and we could look at the examples of those that were even recorded for us in the book of Genesis, and the instruction of Adam, no doubt, to his family, and you can deal with Noah, and you can deal with Abraham, and so on and so forth, and you can understand that there was a responsibility and there was a fulfillment of responsibility in many of those cases to give instruction, to teach the children. As we think about the responsibility of the Father, I notice the message of his lips. When I speak about his, specifically contextually dealing with Solomon, and we'll make the application, but notice what he says. Solomon says, "Hear ye children," notice the instruction of a father. Well, if they're going to hear it, he's speaking it. Is that too far of a stretch? Amen? And so the message of his lips, the instruction that he's giving through his speech, he says, "Hear, my ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Notice what he says, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." Notice that as we consider, he says again in verse number 10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." And so we see this idea of the message of his lips. In fact, if we were to take a quick survey through several chapters of the book of Proverbs, notice with me in Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Notice what the Bible says here in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. It says, "My son," notice again, "hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." In chapter 2 in verse number 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." We notice in chapter 3 in verse number 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." We've read the passage in chapter number 4. Notice in chapter 5, "My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding." I like that in my mind's eye, my sanctified imagination, when I read Proverbs 5 and verse number 1, and I see the expression to bow thine eye, or excuse me, thine ear to my understanding. That purposed hearing and listening. Bow thine ear to my understanding. Notice in chapter number 7. In verses 1 through 3, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart." If you skip down to verse number 24, it says, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words," what does it say? "Of my mouth." The message of his lips. We notice here that Solomon, no doubt, had instructed his children, specifically Rehoboam, in focus here within the context of the book of Proverbs, and we find that he's given them the message of his lips, and I'm thankful that I can understand biblically as we make the spiritual application that our Heavenly Father has given us a written word. It's a perfect book. It is a preserved book. It is a powerful book. The Bible tells us that it is a profitable book. Amen? And we look at the Word of God. It is precious. The psalmist says, "Yea, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold." The instruction that we've received, the written Word of God. I understand that God's not speaking to us audibly, but you know it'd be a good idea for us as we sit down and read the Word of God to act as if God is speaking these words to us, because the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration. What does the word mean? God breathed. Amen? And if all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, we're thankful that we have the written Word of God that's been preserved for us. But our Father, can I tell you, He's given us good doctrine. I mean, that's what he says in verse number 2. He says, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." Listen, we understand the instruction of the book of Proverbs. Can I tell you that God has given us good doctrine? In the same verse of Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, when the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, we find that it tells us that it's profitable for doctrine. Amen? And we understand doctrine's important. You say, but doctrine divides, then so be it. Don't think I'm looking for fights or anything like that, but I'm just saying, doctrine is important. Amen? We cannot, we must not embrace the ideas of some of our liberal brethren that have the ecumenical idea that we can set aside doctrine and seek to have unity in the things that we agree on. It doesn't work. It does not work, brethren. It's not possible. What gives us unity is that we support and embrace the same truth. God is the one that gives us unity as we embrace this book. Amen? Notice the message of his lips, as we've mentioned here in Proverbs 4, but I want you to think about the message of his life. We don't necessarily see it here within the context of Proverbs chapter number 4. We do find that he mentions in verses 3 and 4, how that he, Solomon, received instruction from his father David. And he says to him in verse number 4, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. In fact, if you were to study the life of Solomon, prior to the situation with all that took place, with all of his wives and concubines and all of the idolatry that is recorded, you find that he walked with the Lord. You know, if you look at the first 20 years of the reign of Solomon as the king of Israel, and you look at the building of his own house, and then the building of the temple, and you see all that's taking place, you find in those passages of Scripture, what did Solomon ask for when the Lord appeared to him? Wisdom. Give me understanding that I might rule, lead your people. I mean, you look at some amazing things and the influence of David in his life in his early years, and I'm thankful for that, but I want you to notice what Solomon says in Proverbs 23 and verse number 26. We'll get back to chapter number 4 here in just a moment, but I want you to see what is said here, and it's so powerful and it's so important for us to understand, and it goes right along with what I mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, the instruction that Moses gave to the fathers. Listen, you have to know the truth, you have to live the truth, and then you propagate the truth, you deliver the truth. If you miss B, you have a hard time with C. If you're not living the truth, you have a hard time teaching the truth. Many times we'll be viewed as being hypocritical. Amen? Why? Because you're telling me to do something that you aren't doing yourself. We find in Proverbs 23 and verse number 26, the wise man says, my son, give me thine heart. But notice the rest of the verse, and let thine eyes observe my ways. I wonder how many times I've read that verse of Scripture and I've wondered, this truth, I don't need to request of or grant permission to anybody to observe my ways. What do I mean by that? My ways are being observed anyway. My children in particular, they're observing my ways. And it must be that the message of my life is in line with the message of my lips. When I think about this truth spiritually, it causes me to rejoice greatly. If I could adopt the words of Brother Hummel, he said, I feel a shout coming on, right? And the reality is that we have the written Word of God, but we have the living Word of God. John chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse number 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have the living Word of God. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said often during his earthly ministry to his disciples in particular, you see it in the call of his disciples, he would use these two words, follow me. We find that as he's speaking about being his disciple, he says that we're to deny ourselves, we're to take up our cross, and we are to follow him. Amen? The reality is, I believe that one of the reasons in which we struggle so greatly with following the Lord Jesus Christ is because we've not first denied ourselves, and we've not, number two, taken up his cross. It's going to be a hard thing for me to follow Christ if I'm not denying myself. Look at what Peter says in 1 Peter. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it for you. But in 1 Peter chapter number 2, in verse number 21, the Bible says this. Now think about Peter. Peter walked with Christ. Amen? He saw the life of the Savior. He saw the Messiah. He walked with them. Peter is there at the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, Peter has experienced amazing things in his life as he was an eyewitness. John uses that terminology in 1 John chapter number 1, how that we are eyewitnesses of these things. And we find that Peter says this in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." So, we have, as we think about the responsibility of the Father, can I tell you that there are times in which, as a father, I have failed, physically speaking. I have failed to give the proper instruction. The words of my lips have not been appropriate, perhaps, in giving the instruction that I need to give. The message of my life maybe has failed from time to time. And if we'd be honest, we understand we're not perfect. But can I tell you that God has perfectly fulfilled the responsibility that He laid upon Himself to give us good doctrine, to give us instruction, to give us direction for our lives? So often we find that people are searching and they're looking and they want direction and they just want to know what God wants them to do. Get into the book. Amen. The book gives us the truth. The book gives us the answers. Amen? We're looking in the wrong places sometimes. We're looking for direction and counsel from the wrong source. In fact, I'll be dealing with that tonight in our message. Come back. You'll love it. Amen? It'd be great. Praise the Lord. God's given us good doctrine. He's given us the written Word of God. He promised that He'd preserve His Word, and He has. And for that, we ought to rejoice. But He's also given us the living Word. When God became man, He's the God-man. You read Philippians chapter number 2, and it just kind of blows your mind. We understand, as we've even studied through the book of Hebrews, the truth of the incarnation of our Messiah and the fact that He lived a perfect, sinless life for those a little over three years, upon this sin-cursed world. And what did He do? He left us an example. You read the gospel records, and I hope as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you begin to read about the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see how He behaved. Listen, I understand that at times we use these cute little cliches. What would Jesus do? Most people that wear a band around their wrist that says WWJD, or they have it on the back of their car, they don't know what Jesus would do because they've not read this book. I feel like preaching this morning. I mean, seriously, how is it that we have been given not only the perfect Word of God, but we've been given the example of God in flesh, and yet so often we fail to receive the instruction, to hear the instruction? See, because we see, as it's described in chapter number 4 of the book of Proverbs, it's the instruction of a father, it's good doctrine, it's in the way of wisdom according to verse number 10. Notice what he says in verse 10 and 11 in the passage of Scripture that we're looking at this morning. He tells us this truth. He says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Notice verse number 10. "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom." You know that our God is the all-wise God. We use the word to describe His wisdom, that He is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Why would we ask God? Because He has all wisdom. Amen? That's why He doesn't tell us to go ask somebody else. I'm kind of glad He didn't tell you to go ask the pastor. I don't have all wisdom, but I know the one who does. And when people do ask me for counsel, I seek and purpose to give counsel that is based upon the truth of this book. It doesn't matter what my opinion is. It matters what God says. Notice what he says. Not only have I led thee in the way of wisdom, or taught thee in the way of wisdom, but notice the end of verse number 11. I have led thee, notice what it says, in right paths. Can I tell you this morning that God will never lead you wrong? You may lead yourself wrong. You may deceive yourself, and you may lead yourself wrong. You may justify some things, But God will never lead you wrong. Can I tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit of God will never lead you to do something contrary to the written Word of God? He won't. God is leading us in right paths. He's given us the truth. And I'm so thankful this morning to find how that, yes, we can look at Solomon and we can look at Rehoboam and we can look at this physical relationship of father and son and we can rejoice in the responsibility that he understood and that he fulfilled. But when I look at it from a spiritual perspective and I understand that I'm a child of God and he's my heavenly father and oh, he's a good father. He's given me good doctrine. He's given me truth. We find the response of children, number two, the responsibility of the father, the response of children. Notice again as we look at our passage of Scripture in verse number one, notice these words, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Notice again in verse number 10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." You know, the reality is that we will understand as we look at the passage of Scripture, this truth of hearing, the purpose in which these words are used throughout the book of Proverbs of hearing is not so that you can just gain some level of understanding, but it's so that you would apply the truth in your life. So often we speak about being doers of the Word and not hearers only. But can I tell you that Jesus said on more than one occasion, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." We find it in the letters that are written to the churches in, there in Asia in the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3. He mentions often about hearing. You're not going to do it if you've not heard it. You're not just going to like accidentally obey God. We're at enmity with God. We get saved and we get sanctified through the truth of the Word of God and we understand the response of the children. Listen, we need to hear the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It is good to sit under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. I'm glad that you're here this morning. Amen. Honestly. I'm glad that God, I thank God regularly. I don't fully understand it. In fact, I argued with God about it. I don't understand why he called me into the ministry. I really don't. I don't understand why he got, but I'm thankful he did. And I'm thankful that he's enabled me. But the reality is that we need to hear the Word of God. We need to hear the truth. We need to hear the instruction of a father. And he's given us good instruction. He's given us the Word of God. We find that it says in verse number 2, this, "For I give you good doctrine." Notice this response of the children. "Forsake ye not my law." It's a sad thing when a child of God says, "Yeah, but that doesn't apply to me." We better be careful. "Forsake ye not my law." God's given us his Word. He's given us good doctrine. Oh, well, that was for a different culture. You understand the Bible is cross-cultural. It works in any country of the world. Why? Because he's the God of the universe. Amen? And we find here that as we continue to think about the response of the children, notice in verse number 7, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding." What's the picture that you see in verse number 7? There's some work, some effort to get wisdom, to get understanding. To, you know what Jesus said in John chapter number 5? He said, let me read it to you because I'm going to not quote it properly because I wasn't planning to reference this verse of Scripture. But in John 5, in verse number 39, he says, "Search the Scriptures." Why? "For in them ye think that ye have eternal life." But then he says this, "They are they which testify of me." You know what Jesus did in Luke chapter number 24 when he walked with those disciples that were going back to Emmaus? He started at Moses and the prophets and he expounded all things concerning himself. This morning, as we understand this truth of wisdom being the principal thing and the wise man saying, therefore, listen, if wisdom is the principal thing, and it is based upon the authority of the Word of God, therefore, get wisdom. It's not just going to fall out of the sky and land on your lap. You know, you got to dig into this book. There are times in which I read passages of Scripture I don't know how many times. I was going to preach through the book of Hebrews this year, and I'm working on it. But prior to preaching through the book of Hebrews, I don't know how many times I read the book of Hebrews over my walk with God. But I know that I purposefully read the book of Hebrews 37 times between October and December in preparation of the messages on the book of Hebrews. Just in its entirety, just starting in chapter number 1 and reading through chapter 13. And the next day, starting in chapter number 1 and reading through chapter number 13. And then, as I preach and prepare the messages, you know how many times I read the passage that I'm going to preach? I can't number it for you. Why? I'm trying to get it. I want to understand it. I want to dig into the Word of God. There are passages of Scripture. Have you ever come across a passage and say, I'm not sure what that means? Come on, if you haven't, I need to talk to you, and maybe you need to come up here and preach. But there are times in which you come to a passage of Scripture and say, God, I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you're trying to tell me. I don't understand the truth that you're trying to reveal. And you wrestle with it, and you work, and you work, and you work. And the Holy Spirit of God, who's our teacher, He reveals truth to us. The Bible's awesome, but we got to work. We got to work. The Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. Amen? That needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we understand, listen, it's work. I had the privilege of visiting with someone this week, and as I went to visit with them, I noticed that there was some information there with regard to some memorization cards. I thought, man, that's great. Working on memorizing the Word of God. Began to have conversation about that particular thing that I saw, and as we're talking about it, I said, you know, I get asked all the time, how can you memorize Scripture? And my consistent answer is W-O-R-K. It takes work to memorize the Word of God. It really does. And the older you get, or the more you try to memorize, the more work it takes. It just takes work. Sometimes we forget that, but He says, get wisdom, get understanding, labor for it, work for it. Notice what He says back in Proverbs 4 in verse number 13, take fast hold of instruction. I mean, does your mind, when you read these words, does it not give you some pictures, some images of what we're to do? Take fast hold of this instruction. He says this, notice, let her not go. Can I tell you that if you found truth in the Word of God, you better not let it go for anything. I don't care who comes down the road. I don't care what they try to teach. If you have the truth of the Word of God, you better hold on to it. Don't compromise on it. Don't change. No, let's search the Scriptures. Let's understand what the Word of God says. And we find He says, take fast hold here of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. In Proverbs 13, in verse number 1, the Bible says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. But I want you to think about that truth and couple it with chapter 28 and verse number 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. So now listen, if you look at Proverbs 13 and verse number 1, it says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. So we get some information about a wise son. What does he do? He hears the instruction. But we understand some more information about a wise son in Proverbs 28 and verse number 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. So it's not just hearing, it's keeping, it's doing. We think about the application for us this morning. We see the truth that God's given us good doctrine. He's given us the written Word of God. He's given us the living Word of God. And how is it that we respond? Are we hearing the instruction? Are we understanding that this book is profitable? That I need the content of this book every day of my life? I don't just need the Bible when I have a problem. In fact, if we get a regular routine of getting into the Word of God, then maybe when the problem comes, we already have the answer. Why? Because God's been preparing me. God's been feeding me. He's sustaining me. And that problem comes, we'll say, man, God, I'm so thankful that you gave me that truth that I read just a few days ago. That was, you knew that I needed that because you knew what was coming in my life. That's how God works. Now, sometimes he lets something come that we didn't have that preparation for. And we search the book. We get into the Word of God. God, help me. Give me wisdom. Notice the result. We see the responsibility of the father, the response of the children. Notice the result. I love it. The Bible tells us several things within the passage in Proverbs chapter number 4. In verse number 6, notice first of all it says this, "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is in reference here as we look at the portion of Scripture, and we notice wisdom shall preserve thee. You know that God's instruction as we hear it and as we obey it, that it protects and guards us from troubles and evils? It does. God's designed it that way. Listen, as a father, humanly speaking, are there some things that you instructed your children with so that it would keep them, protect them, preserve them from some troubles and evils? Sure. Why'd you tell them not to play in the middle of the road? Because it's dangerous. I was chatting with somebody just yesterday, and I was talking to them about the dangers of outlets and how that almost every child I've ever witnessed somehow or another has a magnet for a wall outlet. It's amazing. It's like it's just calling their name. Somebody's made a lot of money on that by getting all those covers and all those things, and then you get the covers that are childproof and you can't get the crazy things out to be able to use the outlet. Amen, Joseph? He said to me the other day, how do you get this crazy thing out of here anyway? It's kid-proof. No, just kidding. The reality is that when I said that to the individual, they said, man, I'm going to protect all of my outlets because I don't want my kid putting something in there. Yeah, why? Because you're trying to protect them. And when you tell Johnny or Susie, don't put it in there, you're trying to keep them, to preserve them. So guess what? When God gives us the instruction that He's given us, when we hear it and when we follow it, can I tell you that one of the results that we see here in Proverbs 4 is that it will protect and guard us from any troubles and evils. The reality is that it shall preserve thee. There are some things that we just understand biblically that we take and make decisions based on. There's some things I'm not going to do, some places I'm not going to go, so on and so forth. Why? Because there's biblical command and it's preserved me. It has. Amen? If you'd be honest, I hope that you could say it's preserved you, because that's what the Word of God says. If you hear it and you keep it, it shall preserve thee. It's going to keep us. It's going to protect us and guard us. Number two, what is the result that we see in verse 8 and 9? Notice it says, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. I see here in verses 8 and 9 that wisdom shall promote thee. And really in my mind's eye, I see the truth of blessings. You know what, and we're going to look at the passage, Lord willing, we'll have time. In Deuteronomy, actually we won't look in there, we'll skip that, I don't have time. But in Deuteronomy chapter number 11, let me just give you what it says. This day, what do? I lay before you a blessing and a curse. Right? Is that not what the Bible says? Those of you that are familiar with Deuteronomy 11, it's what it says. A blessing if you obey. A curse if you disobey. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, right? And so guess what? God has attached in His Word blessings to obedience. It's just the truth. Why is it that we have the blessing, the certainty of heaven? Because we obeyed the gospel. Amen? We heard the gospel, we believed it, we accepted Christ our Savior because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, He was buried, He rose in victory, and we understood that truth and it was delivered to us and we obeyed the truth of the Word of God, we obeyed the gospel. But throughout our lives, we think about when we promote, when we exalt wisdom, when we are hearing and doing and following the instruction, we're understanding that God has given us the written Word of God, He's giving us the living Word of God, that the blessings are going to come. this evening, when we deal with the subject matter in which we're going to deal with, we'll see it particularly in the passage that we'll be dealing with tonight. Number three, notice in verse number 10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. We find that as we look at this and we'd understand the longevity, length of, and quality of life. You know, I'm so thankful for the truth of eternal life. I really am. I am so thankful for the promise that the Bible tells us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 6 and verse 23. What a blessing. But can I tell you that in John 10 and verse number 10, he tells us that he came to give us life and that we might have it more abundant. You know, he's given us the truth of the Word of God that we can have not only length of days, but we can have quality of days, abundant life. I'm thankful that we have everlasting life and the truth of God's gift of salvation, but we have that abundant life, that quality of life. Not only do we see this, these three items, notice in verse number 12, as we think about a fourth result, the Bible tells us, "When thou goest..." Now, understood contextually, you're going in the way that I've guided you. You're going with the truth that I've given you. You've heard the instruction. You've received the instruction. You're doing the Word of God. You're obeying the truth that I've given you. Then when you go, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. The idea there of this, thy steps shall not be straightened, has the idea of being impeded. And we understand that it says that when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. I'm thankful that the truth of God's Word will prevent us from dealing with some of the pitfalls of life. Some of the obstacles and hardships that life can bring our way, we can avoid those things. We can be delivered, preventing us from having to endure some of those things. Why? Because we've taken heed to the instruction. Now, I'm not saying to you this morning that you'll avoid every trouble, because we understand that there are times in which actively obeying God's instruction leads you directly into a storm. You say, "Pastor, you're crazy." No, just look at the disciples. It was God in flesh, Jesus Christ, that said, "Get in a boat and go over the Sea of Galilee." And they got in the boat and they got in and they had a storm. They were obedient. They weren't disobedient. I mentioned on Wednesday evening as we spoke about the when we shall see Christ. Isn't that the title of the song? When we see Christ, when we see Jesus. Man, what a blessing. I love the song. I think Miss Joyce, she's asked me a couple of times, at my funeral, I want that song. Amen? Why? Because she understands that when she takes her final breath here, that she'll be immediately in heaven with her Savior and she'll see Him face to face, and what a blessing. But the song talks about when all of life's trials are past. And I mentioned this on Wednesday evening, those of you that were here, some that were watching via live stream, I made the statement that the troubles and trials, the storms of life, I'm so thankful that one day they will soon be over. They will all be over. And what a blessing. But can I tell you that sometimes we must come to this understanding that in the midst of the storms, God has a purpose. That He would be glorified, that we would be developed in the very midst of the storms. God's in control. Do we believe that God's in control? If He is, if we are following His instruction, if we're doing what He's told us to do, if we're being good receivers of instruction, we're responding properly, then He's going to give us that guidance and direction that we need. And we see these results and what blessed results they are. Oftentimes when we look at the results, whether contextually in what we're dealing with this morning or maybe some other area of life, we say, "Yep, I want those results." But you know what the problem is? We don't want the process. We're an instant society. Amen? But to get the results, we must follow the process. We must hear and receive. We must respond properly. The truth of the matter is that this book sitting on a shelf somewhere all week and collecting dust, though it is the most important, most profitable book in all of the world, it's doing you nothing. Because you're not reading it. You're not following it. You're not obeying it. I don't remember who it was, I think it might have been Charles Ryrie, it might have been somebody else, so don't fact check me on it, because I'm telling you up front, I can't remember exactly who it was that said it. But he said this: on one page of Scripture, I have more life-transforming truth than in all of the volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica. I thought, man, I like his perspective. I do. Now, you young people, I know you don't have volumes of Encyclopedia Britannica because we have Wikipedia, and they stopped actually printing it a number of years ago. But the reality is that God's Word is full of good instruction, good doctrine. And oh, that we'd just hear it and receive it. Let me close with two passages of Scripture. Psalm 19. We're familiar with Psalm 19. The Bible begins with, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth forth His handiwork." What a blessing. Think about the beauty of creation, how it reveals there's a Creator. As we look at the passage of Scripture, it quickly moves from the truth of creation to the truth of God's written Word. Of course, as we think about this passage being the Old Testament, the law of the Lord, the books of Moses, we find that the Bible begins in verse number 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover," don't miss verse number 11, "moreover, by them." What is them? What's he been referring to the whole time? The law of the Lord. "By them," by the truth of the Word of God, "is thy servant warned." You hear, unfortunately, a generation today, "I just don't like church in the Bible because it's got all those thou shalt nots." I'm thankful God gave us a bunch of thou shalt nots. You know why? It's preserved me. It's prevented me from dealing with some hardships. Why? Because God said thou shalt not. "God, I understand that in your wisdom you told me not to do this, and by your grace and with your help, I'm not going to do it." Notice, "by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." The keeping of them. See, we're warned, but then we keep it. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 30. I preached short last week. I'll preach longer today. I'm just teasing. I didn't really preach short last week. In fact, Joseph was doing the sound last week, and he was rooting for me to go another minute longer because I preached 58 and a half minutes. I never preached that long. But Hebrews chapter number 7 was just such a technical passage of Scripture, and I didn't want to break it up, and so I almost got to a full hour, and he was cheering for just a little bit more, Daddy. And so thank Joseph, amen. He's not doing sound today, but Deuteronomy chapter 30, notice in verse number 10, and I'll finish with this passage. Notice the first word, "if." Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 10, "if." It's an important word. Just two letters in our English language. But oh, what a message they carry. "If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if," we see it again, "thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day," notice this, "it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off." Aren't you thankful that we have the Word of God? We have it. I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back, but you ought to be thankful that you got a church and a pastor that preaches the Word of God. Because the reality is that you can go long and far around this nation and you can find a dearth of good Bible preaching. I'm just saying, preach the Bible. Notice verse number 12. "It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it?" No, the reality is that if you want to hear it and do it, it's available. Some people say, "If I just knew what to do." Like, all of the flashing lights and everything, like, if you just knew what to do, here you go. Amen? Notice verse 14, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But, look, we see that word again, if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. The sad reality is that even as we've studied through the book of Joshua, we're in the midst of the land being divided, and the inheritance for each of the tribes, and so on and so forth. And we think about the passage of Scripture, and we think about the truth of the fullness of the book of Joshua. They go into the land. God brings them in. God gave them warnings. Joshua gives messages, the warnings that are contained therein. You know what the sad reality is? They were judged because of their disobedience. They didn't always stay in their land. The promise of a remnant that returned after the Babylonian captivity, I thank God that it happened. But you understand that the Assyrians came in, and a little while later the Babylonians come in. Why? It wasn't because God wasn't able to preserve his people. It was because his people forsook the instruction he gave them. They served idols. They did all sorts of wickedness. And the judgment of God came. And they were warned of that. And this morning, as we think about the instruction of a father, I'm thankful for the instruction that I received from my earthly father. I'm thankful for the opportunity and the responsibility that I have to give instruction to my children, physically, humanly speaking. I wish I could say I always responded properly to the instruction I received from my father, but he's here, and I'm not interested in lying. I didn't always receive it properly. And if you did, never mind. Let me say this. Biblically speaking, our God has given us the written word of God. He's given us a good instruction, the instruction of a father, our heavenly father. It's good doctrine. He said, how are you going to respond to it? I said this in the beginning of the message this morning, and I'm going to close with this thought. Our lives, as God's people, as God's children, our lives should be characterized by obedience to the Word of God. Should be characterized by obedience to the Word of God. That we are doers of the Word, not hearers only. That we're digging into the book. You know, I see statistics all the time. I get periodicals and magazines. I don't read half of them. I don't have time. Why? Because I'd rather read the Bible than all that stuff, and so I'm not going to change my Bible reading time to read all of that, but I do get a bunch of things, and I do read many of those. And when you start reading the statistics of people that claim to be Bible-believing, regular attenders of church, that are asked the question, have you ever read the Bible completely cover to cover, and you see that a large percentage of them say no, it's a problem. And then when you say to the people that say they do read it cover to cover, and you say, okay, how many days a week do you read the Bible? Do you have a plan? Do you have an overwhelming majority of people have no plan? Now, I will readily admit I've never been called by any of those people, and I've never participated in the surveys. And I understand statistics and the way they work and how you can make them say what you want them to say, but I would say there's a problem. If that is any representation of reality, and I'm sad to say that I'm sure it is, then what God has given us as good instruction Unfortunately, his people have said, I'm okay. I'm going to figure this out myself. It's not really for me. And then we wander around and we flounder around. We deal with problems and troubles and difficulties. And we wonder why. God's given us his word. Oh, that we would hear it and receive it, and that we would get it, that we'd labor for it, that we would hold on to it, lay hold of it. Let it not go. Forsake it not, but be doers of the word. The instruction of a father. Humanly speaking, I'm thankful that Solomon gave some instruction to Rehoboam. Spiritually speaking, I'm thankful that our Heavenly Father has given us a perfect book. It's changed my life. It's helped me in so many ways. And I'm sure that you could stand and testify of how the book has helped you as well. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for this day, Father's Day, that we can think about the responsibility, humanly speaking, of instructing those, the children that you would bless us with. And Lord, what a blessing. We're so thankful for that charge that we can receive. Thankful for the truth with regard to the children, how they respond to it. Thank you for the results that you carry forth and show us in your word. In a much greater, far more important aspect, we understand that the book of Proverbs records for us the instruction of our Heavenly Father to us as your children. And God, as we examine the truth of this passage of Scripture, I pray that you'd help us to examine it from that perspective. This is God, my Savior, my Father. I'm His Son, His child, and He's given me this instruction. Oh God, would you help us to have our lives characterized by obedience to Thy Word? We take the simplicity of that truth in John 2, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. God, help us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Help us, Lord, to understand the treasure that you've given us in your word. Just how powerful and profitable it is. How it gives us the answers for all of life's questions. Lord, help us to roll up our sleeves and labor, work, dig in to get the wisdom that you have for us. I pray that this morning, if there's one that's not sure of heaven, whether they're here locally or they're tuned in via the live stream, and I pray they'd understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, God in flesh, died for them, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and rose in victory, conquering sin, death, and the grave. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Holy Spirit of God would convict you of sin, of Christ's righteousness, of judgment to come. Maybe this morning there's one that says, I've never been saved. I don't know the Lord as my Savior. Would you trust Him today? Today is the day of salvation. Understand, there's nothing good that you can do. It's all in what Jesus did. Lord, I pray that you'd work in that individual's heart. We think about those that are here, Lord, that are saved. We're your children. Those that are logged on, watching, that are your children. God, would you help us to receive the instruction, obey the instruction. Help us, Lord, to recognize what we have in the written Word of God, in the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That it would not be just some cliche that we throw around of what would Jesus do, but that through studying Thy written Word and studying the life of Christ through the Gospels, that we would have an understanding of how He behaved, what He did, that we might follow His example. Help us, Lord. Work in and through our lives. We'll thank you for the decisions that will be made, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me, heads are bowed, eyes are